Blog Talk Radio. I told them that our voting qualification laws are sound, and they are, that they have been upheld by the federal courts time and time again, and there's no question about that. I told them that our registration officials understand that these laws must be administered fairly, with no one placed under any undue burden, that all are to be treated alike. I told them that the record would show no proof whatsoever that any qualified applicant in Mississippi has ever been actually denied registration because of his color or race or national origin. But whatever mistakes have been made, or if any have been made, probably were errors of judgment by part-time registrars. To put it in simple language, it is not that some qualified have been denied the right to vote. It is probably a matter of some, perhaps unqualified, white applicants who have been registered to vote.
I'll begin from the first beginning, August the 31st in 1962, that I traveled 26 miles to the county courthouse to try to register to become a first-class citizen. I was met by my children when I returned from the courthouse, and my girl and my husband's cousin told me that this man that we had worked for was raising a lot of cane. And about that time, the man walked up, Mr. Marlowe, and he said, "Is Fannie Lou back yet?" So my husband said, "She is." I walked out of the house at this time. He said, "Fannie Lou said, you've been to the courthouse to try to register, and we are not ready for this in Mississippi." I said, "Well, I didn't register for you. I tried to register for myself." He said, "We are not going to have this in Mississippi, and you will have to go down and withdraw." And he said, "I'm looking for your answer, yay or nay." So I just looked. And he said, "I'll give you to in the morning." And said, "If you don't go down and withdraw, you will have to leave. And if you do go down and withdraw, it's on the high field. You still might have to go." So I left that same night. 10 days later, on the 10th of September, 16 bullets was fired into the home of Mr. and Mrs. Robert Tucker, the people that I had gone to live with.
I don't find that there is any great deal of intimidation. I'm sure that there is some intimidation, and I'm sure that that intimidation does exist in every state of the American Union. My name is Charles McMahon. I work in voter registration in Sunflower County. On January 25th, 1963, I went to the mayor's office in Indianola, Mississippi. The purpose was to see if there were any laws on the books that forbidded voter registration activities in the city. The mayor jumped from his seat and said, "You black son of a bitch, don't you come in here arguing at me." I told him that we were there to do voter registration and that if there were any laws that forbid it, to let me know. And he said no. I turned and walked away, and he called me back, said, "Go out and teach everybody in the town. I don't care. If you go into any churches, I will cut off the tax exemption."
For instance, you had some 28,000 to 30,000 qualified in the state to participate in the last campaign for Congress, which took place just a few weeks ago. And of that 25,000 or 30,000 that could have participated, there were only about 4,500 votes that were cast. The trouble is, it's like the white man was not interested.
My name is Jesse Harry, and I participated in voter registration in Mississippi Delta. It was during 1962. I was arrested in Jackson for contempt of court and fined $100 fine and 30 days in Hinds County Farm. The first time I was beaten was in Hinds County on the elevator when officers asked me my name and where I'm from, and I told him I was from Jackson. And so beat me and he hit me side the head in the back and things. The second time I was beaten on the Hinds County farm because he asked me where I was from also, and I told him Jackson, and he said, one of those freedom riders. I told him I didn't know where the world, so he bit me.
We are not going to tolerate any group from the outside of Mississippi or from the inside of Mississippi to take the law into their own hands. We are going to see to it that law and order is maintained and maintained Mississippi style.
If I hate you because you hate me, I'm no better than you are. And all we want to do is to make these people understand that we are human beings and we can work together in this country. And to have a democracy, that's what we're going to have to do. And I think about the turmoil and the things that's going on across the country. And it carries me a long way back. It carried me back to the early 60s. When a young man living in a place called Liberty, Mississippi, his name was Herbert Lee. He had 9 children. He was shot down by a state representative. It carries me back to 61, the time when Reverend Lee at Belzona was on his way home and was shot going in his driveway. It brings me up unto other people that have been killed. And it brings me then to 1963 when I was arrested in Winona, Mississippi. I had been to a voter registration workshop, you know, they were just training and teaching us how to register, to pass the literacy test. And it was giving us enough training that we could tell other people, you know, how to pass the literacy test. We finished the workshop, and then we got the Continental Trailway bus to come back to Mississippi. And we got to Winona, Mississippi, I would say about 10:30 that Sunday morning. And 4 people got off of the bus, you know, to use the restaurant to get food. And 2 people got off, used the washroom while I was still on the bus. When I looked through the glass, I saw the people rush out. And I stepped off to see what had happened. And Ms. Ponder told me that it was a state highway patrolman and a chief of police on the inside and began to tap them on the shoulders with billy clubs and ordered them to get out. And I said, well, this is Mississippi. I saw them when they began to put the 5 people, what was, you know, off the bus, began to put them in the highway patrolman's car. And she said, get back on the bus, Miss Hamer. And then I heard somebody scream from the car that she was in and said, get that one there. And then a white man stepped out of a car and told me I was under arrest. And when he opened the door and I went to get in the car, he kicked me. And they carried me on down to the county jail. Then when I walked in with the 2 white men that had carried me down, and they cursed me all the way down, they would ask me questions, and when I would try to answer, they would tell me to hush. And I was put in a cell with Miss Evesta Simpson. And after I was put in this cell, I could just hear some horrible screams. And I would hear somebody when they say, can't you say yes, sir, nigga? Can't you say yes, sir? And they would call her names that I wouldn't want to go on tape. And she said, yes, I can say yes, sir. So I said. And she said, I don't know you well enough. And I would hear when she would hit the floor again. And finally, she began to pray. And she asked God to have mercy on these people because they didn't know what they was doing. And after a while, they passed my cell door with this young woman, Miss Annelle Hunter. And one of her eyes looked like blood, and her hair was standing up on her head, and her clothes had been torn. And then 3 white men came to my cell, and one of them was a state highway patrolman, and he asked me where I was from, and I told him I was from Ruleville, and I guess he called Ruleville. And they didn't like me in Ruleville because I worked with voter registration there. And when he came back, he said, you damn right, they said, you're from Ruleville, all right.
and we gonna make you wish you was dead. And they led me out of that cell into another cell, and he gave a Negro prisoner a blackjack, and he ordered me to lay down on a bunk bed. And a Negro prisoner said, "Do you want me to beat her with this, sir?" And he said, "You're damn right, because if you don't, you know what I'll do for you." And I laid down on the bunk like he ordered me to do. And the first Negro beat me. He beat me until he was exhausted. And after he beat, the state highway patrolman ordered the second Negro to take the blackjack. And during the time he was beating, I began to work my feet because that was a horrible experience. And the state highway patrolman ordered the first Negro that had beat to sit on my feet while the second one beat. And I just began to scream while I couldn't control it. And then the white man got up and began to beat me in my head. I have a blood clot now in the artery to the left thigh and a permanent kidney injury on the right side from that beat. I was out on the road most of the time. They want me to come from place to place to speak. Voter registration and trying to get more people involved. That's what we worked on most of that whole summer.
All that SNCC is trying to do, and the young people that came into Mississippi from the 1964 project, all they are trying to do is to say these are human beings and they're supposed to be treated like anybody else.
Most likely a cop won't try to jump you in here.
The white people in the movement, especially the young people, is just as dedicated, it just as pure in wanting to change for all human beings. And I just have faith not only in the young Negroes, but in the young whites that will be working in the South and fight all over the country to bring a change in the United States.
I'm just wondering if people in this room understand, one, that people should be expected to get beaten, they should expect to spend in jail, and that they should expect possibly somebody to get killed.
I also know it was people like Andy Goodman, Michael Swern, and James Shay that gave their lives in the state of Mississippi, that all of us would have a better chance. And when they died there, they didn't just die for me, but they died for you, because your freedom is shackled chained to mine. And until I'm free, you are not free either.
We have organized into the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, encouraging every Negro and white who wants a stake in his political future to prove it by getting his name on a freedom registration book.
The reason we have a Mississippi Freedom Democrat Party, we wasn't allowed to participate with the regular Democratic Party in Mississippi. When we went to visit the precinct meeting in Roosville, it was eight of us, eight Negroes, and we went up to this polling place where they would hold precinct meetings, and they had this place closed. It was locked up, so we stood at the nearest place, which was right down by the steps on the lawn. We held our own recent meeting. We elected our chairman, our secretary, our delegates, and our alternates, and we passed a law to resolution. And we moved from the precinct level up to the state. Then on the 24th of April, 1964, the Mississippi Freedom Democrat Party was organized at the Masonic Temple in Jackson, Mississippi.
The Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party is only beginning, and it is beginning on the basis that it believes that a political party should be open to all the people who wish to subscribe to its principles. That means it's open to even the son of the planter on whose plantation you work, if that son has reached the point that he's willing to subscribe to your principles.
And there's some people in this room here that was in Atlantic City with us, when the delegation went from Mississippi to challenge the seating of the regular delegation at that convention in Atlantic City.
On Monday, the 1964 Democratic National Convention will open here in Atlantic City to nominate President Lyndon B. Johnson.
We believe that we will be seated in this convention because it is right. You tell the truth, you don't
all
have
right,
anything
all right.
You
with Dr. Harris. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show here broadcasting on the West Coast, and we do the most. We're just glad to be here today. This is the month of Women's Month. But know that you have every month, as far as I'm concerned. I don't get into all that, it's Black History Month, so we're just going to celebrate ourselves in February. Now, we're going to celebrate ourselves every day. Every day we want to celebrate ourselves here across the country. You were listening to Fannie Lou Hamer from Mississippi, Louisville, Mississippi. And many of you always ask the question, why do I call Fresno, Mississippi, Fresno? Answer. The reason I call Fresno, Mississippi is because of the same injustice that happens that you just seen Miss Fannie Lou Hamer went through is what we go through here in Fresno. We have police brutality. We have voter suppression. All that stuff that Fannie Lou Hamer was talking about. We have people being beat, individuals being beat. It's just a very, very racist society. I mean, 1963 wasn't long ago. You know, Dr. King, you know, negotiated with Lyndon Johnson to sign the voting bill for Black people. We're the only people here in this country that we is not automatic for us to vote. Congress has to vote if we're going to be legalized to vote here in this country. So that's why I call Fresno, Mississippi. And if you go back at your own time and look and watch the YouTubes of Fannie Lou Hamer, I promise you will learn something. You will be more educated about what our ancestors went through. We still have Black people here in Fresno, which is sad. But like I said, I can't save everybody. All right, I can't save everybody. So all I can do is teach consciousness, teach truth. And then whatever you do with it after that is what you do with it. If you don't do anything with it, then you don't do anything with it. But this is Black History Month. I'd just like to thank those of you who are watching. Some of you are watching without your name being up there, but I appreciate that. Giving shout outs to each and every one today. It's been a long day for me. Very long day. I'm very tired, but I'm committed to the show. And we, you know, if we're on here for 30 minutes, hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, that's what it's going to be. And so, so for all of you women that are out there doing your thing, we appreciate you. And you know, this week, you know, I said that we were going to be, you know, recognizing people who don't have the name recognition. And my sister Butler here on the line with us live streaming. You are a hero. And, you know, we just went down the line. You know, we have women like Dr. Crozier, who I know personally. is a professor, social justice. She's great. Her mom, you know, worked at the schools at Edison. And it just keeps going down the line with how magnificent our women are in this community here. You know, we talked about Allie and Reed, you know, we talked about Maria Epps. Excuse me, we talked about Maria Epps, who has passed on. She did some great work here while she was here. My grandmother, Bertha Harris, who has crossed over to the other side. Miss Grayson, which has passed over, went over to the other side. Aline's mother, you know, lived here for many, many years, didn't leave the community. She just passed like 2 months ago. You know, we give her a thumbs up, you know. So a lot of the women here in Fresno has done wonderful things, but you don't get the recognition because you're not a Rosa Parks, Coretta King. I'm not taking anything away from them, but I think it's important for us to also recognize people who is alive and doing good things, or our children can see them doing positive things in the community. Who else is it? Mary Ellen Brown, you know. She's passed over. Over to glory. You know, people like Janice Sumler and Cheryl Sumler. Crystal Joyce, you know. The list just goes on and on and on and on. The list doesn't even stop. And so we just want to, you know, salute you, all the women in Fresno who are on the front line. And if I didn't say your names, not because I am intentionally doing it. We have Gloria who's on the line. Hey, Ron, got to head to the gym, brother. Lift some weights, all right? So, you know, we were, I was hoping that she was going to call in LaVere Williams. That's right, LaVere Williams. And I'm sorry I can't remember everyone's name. I've been up since 5 o'clock, so I'm kind of like brain is shutting down. But, yes, LaVere Williams, you know, she's another one who, business owner, you know, employing people in our community, helping people, empowering other women. Bobby, you may know my sister Jeanette here. Crystal, will you please call into the show? This is your show tonight, and I'd like you to call in. I text you the phone number. The phone number is on the screen as well. So please call in. If you talk to us for 2 or 3 minutes, that's great. Karen also is another person who's doing great work in our community, and she's in Sacramento. So I don't want our women to cut themselves short. Okay. No, I'm not going tonight. Maybe tomorrow we'll go to the gym. I don't want you to cut yourself short because I think that you all are remarkable. I feel that you have made your mark here in society. You care about our children. For God's sakes, you know, you birthed the children and, you know, you brought the children in the world. You brought us in the world. So, I mean, just that alone says a lot. Even if you're not an activist, but you're a mother, you help bring life into this society. And that's huge. It's very huge. Who is this? Is that who I... Oh, man. Happy New Year, girl. I ain't seen her in so long. Louisiana. All right, Shreveport. All right, okay. Okay, good to see you, my sister. I've talked to you in many, many years. Yes, sir. So, Stephanie, that's her name, Stephanie. So I just want to, I believe Minister Crystal just called in. The number to call in is 516-453-9086. That's 516-453-9086. You're with Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, who was listening to Fannie Lou Hamer a little earlier, talking about the struggles that she went through. And I mean, it just brings chills, you know, every time I think about Fannie Lou Hamer, you know, how she got beat. I mean, if we had innocent people, women, you know, innocent women who was out there fighting for us, you know, and just received all the in-kind injustice and persecution. And she talked about how she was beat in jail. And I mean, it's just remarkable. And I can't say it enough. Thank you, Ms. Hannah, and all of your supporters back in Mississippi in the 1960s. I named the Freedom School, Federal Freedom School, after other freedom schools in Mississippi. And so we're going to go ahead and go to our caller. Are you with Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show? We're going to be talking about COVID-19. We have some events coming up. I'll be talking about those, the dates and times. But we have someone on the phone here. I believe that's her. Let me see. Call it 3997.
Dates and times, but we have someone on the phone here. I believe that's.
Is this Minister Christian Joyce?
Call it 3997. Dates and times, but we have someone on the phone here.
Is this Minister Crystal Joyce?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we got an echo in the back. If you could kind of either cut your phone off or something, or turn it down, or I'm not sure how you.
Yes, it is.
But we just want to. There's a dog. Okay.
What to do.
She gets frustrated very, very easy. Hopefully she'll call back. Let me see if I can call her. 431. Okay, let me see if I can call her. Okay, let's see if this works. All right, let's see if this works. All right, caller, are you there?
Yes, hello.
All right, that's better. Thank you for coming on the show today. Hey, tell us about the COVID-19 and all of the testing things you've been doing. You probably have to cut your Facebook off. You probably have to cut your Facebook off. So that's your show. Cut the show off, and then it should work for you.
Is it better now?
Yeah, that's great. So tell us about the COVID. Let me give an introduction. She hates when I
do. Oh, Lord.
Anyway, Minister Crystal Joyce is one of my associate pastors at Free AME Ministries. A great supporter. She is the founder of My Testimonies here in Fresno, California. She goes out. She feeds the homeless. She clothes. She give out clothes. She pray for folk. What I like about her is she keeps it 100. And we don't find too many people to keep conversations 100. And I just really appreciate her. She's been doing a lot of great work. We know that the COVID-19 is controversial, and I respect everybody's position on it. I don't, you know, have time to argue or things like that, but if you just like to give you perspective, then it's great. You know, and I promise you that no one will attack you or anything like that. And so, Minister Crystal, you know, I see you sometime. You have on this white jumpsuit and like you going to Mars or something. And sometimes I have to like look around to see if it's you. And you're just a mover and shaker here in the West Fresno community. You're a pioneer in the community here, very well respected here in the community. You preach like I don't know what on Sundays at the church. You work with the children. You're every month Friday from I believe 9 to 10. You're there, committed on Zoom, praying for folk, and now you're out in the community. Getting folks tested. So I'm going to leave it there because, you know, I'll talk about an hour about you. So I'm going to leave it right there. Tell us, who is Crystal Joyce here in Fresno? What projects you're doing?
Well, good evening, everybody, first of all. And Reverend Harris, you're always too kind and you make it too long. Everything you said is true, and I have done and doing everything that you have said with the help of Jesus Christ, because if it had not been for God who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. And that is the honest to God truth, because I've been through some things and still going through. Do you understand? But if you keep on living, you know, on this side, you may get to the other side, and on this side, you may be able to straighten it out a little bit. So I'm on a little straighter path than I've been in former years, and I have not arrived. But I'm still on the move. Two things you said is for sure. I love the Lord, and I'll do anything he asks me to do. And what he asks me to do is to tell his people about the goodness of the Lord. And I can only tell them about what he's done for me. So my testimony was birthed out of that. You have to tell somebody. If you hear a good sermon, try to remember it. Write it down so you could tell somebody. If the Lord's been good to you, tell somebody. The IEB stands for including everybody, because everybody has a testimony. Everybody has something they could tell somebody. Even if you're telling them something that you feel as though, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this, maybe it ain't none of my business, if it comes up in your spirit, you probably should tell somebody, because it wouldn't have come up if the Lord hadn't want you to tell them about it. So, you know, we had a service not too long ago, and you was talking about my people perish for lack of knowledge. Never stop learning. Never stop growing. And never stop listening. Because when you stop listening, then I believe you stop having a purpose, because our purpose is to listen to one another. It's not always to respond. It's not always to have a comeback. It's not always to have a response. But it's always to listen. And we don't know what just listening to somebody does for them throughout the day. Now you talked about COVID testing. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Ooh, people are so hard to, you know, get the message to and through due to the fact everybody has an opinion. I do too. But what I have learned is it's better to know than not to know. And that's in a lot of areas of life. And with the COVID testing that I do, I started as ambassador in November. And then through the grace of God and also you and Sister Wanda, I was put in the hat to become a tester. So now I'm a tester through Colors, which is the project who we work under. And I tell you, you know, it's for our people. And I say our people, not just the human race, our people, the colored people. I did a questionnaire the other day for a application, and it says, what is your ethnicity? And I thought about it this time, and I put colored American, because I don't even know nothing about being Afro-American. I don't know nothing about being American. I don't know nothing about being nothing, but I am a colored woman. I have color in my skin. I have melanin. So I put a colored American. And that's what I'm going to continue to put on all my documentation. If the lady said, well, I've never seen this before. I told her, I ain't never seen it before either. I say, I just came up with it. But that COVID testing, back to that. our people feel as though I've got vaccinated or I'm not getting vaccinated, I'm not going to get tested because I'm good, I'm trusting the Lord. Well, I trust the Lord too. But I also believe that the Lord put things, people, places, and things in the communities, in the doctor's office, in our reach to help us. And it brings him back to the man who was waiting on the raft in the middle of the ocean, talking about, I'm waiting for some help from the Lord. And he sent the plane, he sent a person with a boat, and he sent somebody with a helicopter and a string to pull him up. And he still sat there because he said he was still waiting on the Lord. He didn't know how the Lord was coming, and we don't either. With this COVID-19, we don't know how the Lord is coming. I don't know who did this. I really don't. And it's not my place to keep pondering it and keep being controversial about it. I know one thing I believe for sure. This is my belief, my opinion. Everybody got one. This is mine. I don't believe it's a vaccine. I believe it's a potion or something to help our immune system build up antibodies or to build up some type of support to help us be stronger against anything that attacks us. I think a vaccine takes years and years and years to develop. I don't think when COVID hit, they had all these years, but I do know that scientists and the level of information through this cyberspace age, you probably don't have to take that long for things anymore. But I still believe the old way works, and I believe it does take longer than what it took for them to come up with a vaccine. So I don't know if I'm vaccinated or not. I took two shots and a booster of something. I asked them what it was when I took it, and you know me, I was asking all kind of questions. I think they was getting mad with me. And do you know, they still didn't give me a straight answer, but I had to take it. Well, let me rephrase. I didn't have to take it, but the way it was put to me, if you take it, you could keep your job. If you don't take it, you ain't got to take it, but you can't work here. I've been working in this industry that I'm in right now for 21 years, and I didn't want to move. And so I took it. I figure my aunt, she took it. She 80-some years old. She's still here with us. The one I work with is 80 also, and she took it, and she's still here. So I took it too. I figure I was in good ground, good soil. She was the one that set up the vaccination clinic for us, her workers, and she took it right along with us, and we're still here. That's one thing. The testing is important because we have elderly. We have immune-compromised people that we're around knowing and unknowing. And if we catch it, and we know we could stay away from them, we could wear our mask, we could wash our hands, we could wear gloves, or we could just stay away. But if we don't know, we could give it to them. And I'd rather know and not pass it on than to not know and passing it around. So that was why I was passionate about the COVID testing process. That's why I'm still doing the COVID testing. Our hours have changed, the dates. I mean, the time has changed. We used to do it 5 days a week. Now we only do it two because of participation. We don't have enough participation in the community. And the people who gave us the opportunity to bring it to our community is from a tabernacle that is for colored people. It's for the advancement of our people, for black people. They want to help black people. But black people don't seem in some situations, because we'll get a lot of feedback about this, but at the end of the day, I really don't care. Say what you want to say. But I know for a fact we don't support each other. We don't go to each other's events. We don't shop. When somebody say, I'm opening up something, we don't come in and support them. But I see our other Americans and our other brothers and sisters, because I don't care what color you are, where you come from, if you're a human being, you're my brothers and sisters. The Mexicans, they support each other. It'd be 100 of them in one little business, but they over there, they supporting, they eating, they buying, they doing. But do you think we do that? And I don't even know why. I think it's just embedded in us to just turn our back on each other. Oh, let so-and-so go over there. I'm not going over there with them. I don't socialize with them. Oh, well, you know, at the end of the day, If we're going to all make it to heaven, we're going to have to get on the same page. I know my scripture says that they was in one place on one accord. So if we ain't in one place in one accord, I don't know what we're going to do when we get to heaven. I believe the Lord going to throw us all out because we can't get along down here. Now, anything else, Reverend Harris, because you know I'm supposed to go.
Well, you know, I found one of your pictures. At my birthday party, so I'm showing your picture so everybody can put a name with the voice, and you're showing all your 32 teeth and all that stuff. And so anyway, your sister.
You know, I like to be behind the scenes. I can't have my name and my face out there. Ain't no telling what they might want to do. But go ahead, Reverend Harris.
We have your sister from Sacramento on supporting and listening to you right now. We just thank her. Love to see her. Now, can you give us the days that you're doing the testing?
We do testing Mondays and Saturdays. Testing starts from 11 and it wraps up around 6. We're at Free AME Ministries, 806 East Collins, on Saturday and Mondays. And we also set up pop-up shops and sites throughout Fresno. On Saturday, we're over off of Clinton and Winery in the parking lot over there in between the probation department and Quality Family Services. And we also, CVS, which we used to call the Old Longs, across from the Housing Authority. We were at Rite Aid's right there on Fresno Street. So we're trying to be mobile. We're trying to be in the community. We're trying to be available. You know, we lost some hours and days, like I say, because of the low participation, not getting enough numbers. So they took some of the days, but I understand they did that on a lot of sites. I believe that the pandemic part of it is kind of down, trickling down, which is a blessing, but we still need to be testing. We still need to know. We're going to be doing a vaccination clinic, I understand, and we need to have my sister Wanda Johnson on here to talk more about that, but we're going to be doing a pop-up vaccination clinic along with our testing. I believe she's going to do it at a prayer breakfast or something, but like I say, we'll have to have another show so she could come on and talk about that. But I think it's vital at least get tested. You don't get COVID from getting tested, but you will get a little comfort. What I find from being tested once a week like I am is that I feel better still being able to go to the store, going around. I go pick up my baby from school. She goes to school. I'm around people, and I know I don't have COVID. And that's a good feeling because I do know that you can get it. I do know they call it COVID and Omicron and whatever else they may come up with some names for it. And I do know that they say people have passed away from it. I don't know if it was because their immune system was already compromised and this was just, as they say, the straw that broke the camel's back. I hate to put it like that, but we all will leave here. We don't know how or when. But if we can do something to increase our chances of being here a little bit longer, why not do it? And I'm just saying, just get tested. I'm not pushing the vaccine. That's a personal choice. Research it, read about it, get information, talk to people that have had it. You know, like I say, I've had two vaccines, as they call it, and the booster. So that's three doses, and I'm still here. That's all I can tell you. I didn't feel sick, and I'm okay.
All right, there you have it. There you have it. There you have it. There you have it. The one and only. She needs no introduction. She knows from all over the world. Minister Crystal Joyce here in Fresno, California. We just want to thank her. I know she's at work right now, and I want to be respectful to her job and what she has to do. So there's going to be a prayer breakfast on March 19th at 7:30 at 806 Collins here in Fresno, California. 7:30 to 10, we'll have leaders from the community speaking about COVID. And we will have those who want to get vaccinated as well there. On the 26th, we also will have a block party. Look like they want me to DJ, so watch out. I'll cut a step on you and bust a move on you. But anyway, we have a block party there. It's going to go from 10 to 2 p.m. So put that on your calendar. So that's where we're at. And so anyway, this is Women History Month. You know, again, every month is your month, just like Black History is our every day are Black, so every day is Black History to me. But we just want to thank the women. I've been showing the documentaries of Fannie Lou Hamer every night of the week that we come on, Monday through Friday. And just so that people can listen to Fannie Lou Hamer, just listen, you know. And that's one of the problems I see now. People don't listen, talk too much, but just listen to what she went through. Listen to the injustice. She talks about, you know, having a right to vote. You know, there was a time in this country that Black people could not vote, but we fought in every war. You know, we couldn't vote. That wasn't long ago, folks. 1960s was not long ago. That's just right around the corner. And now here we are today in 2022, dealing with some voter suppression. I don't get it. I don't understand why, you know, this is getting off topic, but it's just been in my spirit. You know, here we are in a war, you know, Ukraine with Russia. And, you know, we have folks over there, Ethiopians and folks from South Africa, trying to get home. And they're being discriminated against for getting on trains and buses. I mean, I don't know. That's a whole other show we're going to do. I'm going to get some heavy hitters on that show. But like I said, I don't understand how we talk about democracy in America when Nelson Mandela was over there incarcerated for over 25 years, and America didn't do anything to go over and talk about democracy. So I'm confused. I'm going to have to get people that's more educated than I am to talk about these topics. But again, we just want to thank Minister Crystal Joyce for coming on with us tonight. We appreciate her, all the work that she's doing in the community. She's going to be preaching on the third Sunday at my at my church, and she throws it down real good and real hard. So anyway, I'm going to play a little bit more clip of Fannie Lou Hamer, and then we're going to let you go.
The seating of the delegation from the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party has political and moral significance far beyond the borders of Mississippi or the halls of this convention.
It is very terror that these people are living through that is the reason that Negroes aren't voting, that they're kept out of the Democratic Party by the terror of the regular party. And what I want the Credentials Committee to hear is the terror which the regular party uses on the people of Mississippi, which is what Reverend King was explaining, which is what Aaron Henry was explaining, and which is what the next witness will explain, Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer.
Mr. Chairman, and to the Credentials Committee, my name is Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer, and I live at 626 East Lafayette Street, Roseville, Mississippi, Sunflower County, the home of Senator James O. Eastland and Senator Stennis. All of this is on account of we want to register to become first-class citizens. And if the Freedom Democratic Party is not
lie. I told him in Atlantic City, if something supposed to have been mine 100 years, don't offer me two of it today. No, don't give me a bite of what I supposed to have the whole thing 100 years. If you don't give me all of it, just keep the two. Then three of us decided to run for Congress. Ms. Annie Devine, Victoria Gray, and myself. When we tried to get on the ballot, they refused to put our names on the ballot. But our names was put on a freedom ballot because we made our own ballot. And we didn't just write the black people's name on the ballot. We included the white people on the ballot. And I received 33,009 votes against my opponent's 49 votes. And I didn't say 49,000. So this made us, the 4th of January, 1965, come to Washington. We had made the challenge at the convention for the delegation. Then 1965, we were making the challenge for the 5 representative seats.
Here they come, followers of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. They've been here at the House of Representatives all day long. Morning. They are all now under arrest, charged with unlawful occupancy of a public building.
The police officials there at the house, you would have thought we was carrying secret information from the United States to Russia, the way they, you know, acted as though we was carrying a bomb or something. The congressman from my district didn't say anything, but the others said enough, they couldn't even prove to themselves they was telling the truth. You know, they said they represented the people of Mississippi, and 42% of the people we know as well as they know can't register and vote. And that's why I have to tell the congressmen there and the chairman and the committees that it's now time for America to wake up.
This is Fannie Lou Hamer, hails from Louisville, Mississippi in Sunflower County. And she has a gift for earthy and vivid phrases and for stating her views without formality, cant, or hypocrisy. Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer.
Will you welcome, please, Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer.
This is Fannie Lou Hamer, the spark plug of the Mississippi Freedom Party and a candidate for political office in her hometown.
But all we was asking for was new and free elections to give all the people a chance to vote in Mississippi, that they could choose the people that were going to represent them and determine their destiny. When they had the hearing before the subcommittee on elections, they said, well, we won't say you're not right, but if we let you get away with this, they'll be doing it all over the South. I said, well, if all over the South, Congressman Adam Clayton Powell said, if you go on the floor today, you'll be the first Negro women in the history of the United States that have ever gone on the floor of Congress. And I said, you can get your pen and start writing because we're going to make history today. Because we want to see, I want to be on the floor of Congress when I watch another part of democracy go down the drain. And regardless of all the things that we went through, in 1963 or 1964, we didn't have many people registered in the Mississippi. But today we have 60% of the black population registered in Mississippi. We have 42 elected officials in the state of Mississippi. And one day you'll be proud when you can say, Senator Fannie Lou Hamer, thought about all my way, baby.
gonna land on the shore.
All right, there you have it, Fanny Lou Hamer from Roosevelt, Mississippi. And so we just thank everyone once again. We will be back tomorrow with the show talking about March, Women's Month. Thank you all. I'm going to say power to the people. Have a good night, y'all. And we want to thank Minister Crystal and those who listened to her tonight. Peace out.